Hello, and welcome to Not the Tech Dirt Podcast. It is this week's snippet from our other podcast, Control-Alt-Speech. We've been getting really great feedback on the new show, some of which we read on the latest episode, and we will continue to share some snippets here on the Tech Dirt feed for the time being. This particular snippet was on one of our main stories last week, doing a pretty deep dive into a really fascinating article from Bloomberg about sextortion and how this relatively new crime is targeting teenagers. The story is in some ways horrifying, actually in many ways horrifying, but there are a lot of important nuances that made for a really interesting discussion between Ben and I, including looking into some of the odd choices and how the story was actually covered. If you would like to hear the full episode, please go and subscribe to Control Alt Speech. That is CTRL Alt Speech. You can find it in all good podcast platforms, or if you go to CTRLAltSpeech.com, that is our website, which has just gone through a nice little redesign. So anyways, please enjoy this snippet.
I want to move us on, Mike, to talk about a teenager obviously faces risks at school. And we talked a bit about that in that markup article, but they also face risks, obviously, when they're out of school, when they're at home and they're using the internet more freely. And the piece that I was reading this week, which we both again read, was a Bloomberg piece about how scammers are targeting teenage boys on social media and basically kind of completely changes. Well, it certainly changed my view of what kind of sextortion looked like and the growing trend of teenagers, particularly boys, being scammed into sharing intimate images of themselves, which they then have to pay money to have kind of referred back to them. And this is a really, really sad story of a young guy called Jordan DeMay, who basically was a really super achiever at school, you know, football and basketball star. 17 years old, and suddenly gets a message on Instagram, I think it is, from a profile of a kind of cute girl, and they start talking, and she kind of spins him a lie that she's due to move in into the area soon, and she asks him for a picture, an intimate picture with his face that he shares, and suddenly he's asked for $300, and obviously he's like super shocked. Bloomberg actually published the messages that went back and forth with the scammer, in which the scammer kind of demands to be sent thousands more dollars and threatens to send the pictures to his parents and threatens to tell his girlfriend. And I was kind of reading this story and thinking, God, this is awful. But, you know, this is part of a broader trend that I was really unaware of, in which more and more teenagers are being kind of sextorted online. And the Bloomberg piece has some stats from 2022 and 2023, which basically kind of show this exponential graph. It's basically the numbers of reports of people being sextorted go up 10, 12, 14x over the course of kind of 18 months. And NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who get a lot of these reports, are saying that this is a huge, huge issue. And the article quotes the FBI as well, who are saying that this is something that is really a really serious problem. What did you think about this piece when you read it, Mike? Like, did your like heart sink in the way it did mine?
Yeah, it's a horrifying piece, and it is well worth reading. It is well reported and obviously deeply horrifying and emotional piece. The stories are just incredible, and your heart obviously goes out to the families who have dealt with this. And it is impressive. In terms of the numbers of these cases, I've heard from various trust and safety folks that this is like a massive, massive problem these days, and really did come out of nowhere. And it is interesting, and the article notes this, how most people, when they think about kids and naked pictures or intimate pictures, as you notice, as you said, the traditional way of thinking about it is like older men trying to groom young girls as an issue. And in some ways, this flipped the script
and involved these scammers who were targeting teenage boys and setting up fake profiles and flirting until they can convince the boy to send a picture. And then the article also goes deep in how there are training materials out there that are making the rounds that are teaching scammers how to do this. And the one that struck me is incredible, and it plays out in that story of Jordan DeMay, was that basically the second that they send an intimate picture, you change the script and immediately jump into blackmail. And the playbook details that they shared was, you know, basically the split second that you get a picture, you just turn around and say, I am going to destroy your life. Your life is ruined. Everything is awful. And that is exactly what happened. And in fact, the article notes that the texts that were sent to Jordan came straight from one of the playbooks that were making the rounds. Like, it wasn't even that the scammers involved were making this up as they went along. They were just cutting and pasting from a resource that told them how to do this and how to try and scam people. So it's, you know, it's really eye-opening. It's a really, really interesting story, and sort of makes the case of how horrifying this is and how serious it is. And even also at the same time, like, how in the case of Jordan, who otherwise seemed like a very happy, you know, popular, successful high school student, was like prom king or whatever, you know, the equivalent is. And how just in a moment of weakness did this, and then that eventually led to him taking his own life, which is obviously horrifying.
It's a really awful case. And, you know, Jordan took his own life, and that is awful, but it doesn't need to result in suicide for this to be a terrible, terrible thing, right? You know, this is a potentially kind of life-changing issue for not just teenagers, but anybody who has this done to them. And it was shocking to me again that this idea of kind of scams as a service, you know, it's the new SaaS product, is that you can kind of buy a guide to doing this, and you can quite quickly rack up thousands of pounds or dollars by doing this. And the consequences are massive. So I think this is a really, really kind of timely piece, I think, in many respects. Also because you noted, Mike, that Meta have also just launched some new features and products to help protect young people from sextortion, right?
Yeah. And it was actually a little bit interesting and possibly curious that the timing of this, which was Meta released some new tools a few days before this article dropped. And I imagine they were aware that it was coming. But I thought it was interesting. And actually, I'll get to the tools in a second, but I did want to talk a little bit more. I did have a little bit of a problem with the article in one sense. I do think it is really worth reading because of the detail and just the story that it tells. But I found it a little bit odd that the article talking about all this, it talks about two different stories of teenage boys who both of them end up taking their own lives, which again is absolutely horrifying, both of which had easy access to guns. But the story sort of brushes over that, doesn't talk about the fact that they had access to, I think in both cases, their parents' guns, and use that to take their own lives. But instead sort of suggests that the real problem here was Meta and Section 230. And I think that is just fundamentally wrong. I think that there, you know, if you didn't have Section 230, I don't see how these stories turn out any differently in particular. I don't see what it is that they were expecting Meta to be able to do to jump in to this conversation. Do they want them to be surveilling everyone's conversation? Because that is also horrifying in its own way. But at the same time, as we noted, like, Meta just released a bunch of new tools to try to prevent sextortion type scams, in terms of trying to make it harder for people who don't really know each other to communicate, especially with teenagers, warning people if it senses that you're sending an intimate image, in some cases blurring out images that are likely to have nudity in them, a bunch of things to sort of recognize that this is an issue and that they're trying to prevent it. And one of the arguments I'll make is that things like Section 230 are part of what allows Meta to experiment in this way and to see that this is a real problem, this is a serious problem, and they need to work on tools to do that, and they are, and they can do that because of, in part, not entirely, but in part because Section 230 allows them to take these actions without fear of liability for if those tools make a mistake or something like that. Without Section 230, it actually becomes harder to fight these things. And that's why I felt that that part of the article was really misleading, in that it really does try to blame Meta. And I understand that the families, who are totally understandably devastated and upset, and are trying to find someone to blame for it, have pointed a lot of their anger towards Meta. But I don't see how that necessarily helps.
No, I mean, we know, and this is the same in other countries as well, where regulation exists, and you know, it's somewhat controversial that people will try to turn these real life events and these stories that are heartbreaking into reasons to increase regulation or deregulate, or there's always somebody who's going to claim that it's as easy as just changing what exists or adding a few more lines into the existing regulation, right? So it's a lot more complex than that, as we know. And there's actually a really good piece from New America this week, which I included in this week's Everything in Moderation, that says we need to shift away the focus from changing Section 230 if we're going to be able to combat online harms in a meaningful way. So again, we'll show
and the other notes. The other thing that I think is worth noting and was really interesting and honestly kind of surprising to me, in the case of Jordan DeMay, the scammers were in Nigeria, and as the article notes, like, the FBI was actually able to track down who they were, have them arrested, have them extradited to Michigan, and have them plead guilty to crimes, and they are facing at least a minimum of 15 years in jail and possibly up to 30 years in jail for the scam they did, which gets to the larger point, which is that this is really a law enforcement issue. This is crime. These are crimes that are happening. And in our society, the way we fight crime is through law enforcement. And the argument that Meta should have magically been able to prevent this is kind of a request for having large technology companies act as law enforcement. And that is horrifying in a whole other sense. We don't want them to be law enforcement. We want people who are designated as law enforcement to act in that role. And here it appeared that it was, you know, it was successful. Obviously, the harm was done, the crime was done, and it was horrific. But law enforcement was actually able to track them down and bring those individuals to justice, which is a big deal, because oftentimes we hear about scams on the internet that are done overseas and there's no recourse. Whereas here, there actually was recourse and they were actually able to do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing to note, Mike, on that point of law enforcement is that the scale of this stuff is massive. You know, there's a paragraph in the piece that says that Snap did a survey of 6,000 young users in six countries and found that half of them had been targeted in online sextortion. So then it's impossible for the judicial system, for the law enforcement to actually do that kind of level of work. What kinds of, apart from the tools that Meta have released, what kinds of ways do you think this can be mitigated, this particular harm for this particular group of people?
Okay, and that was our brief look from last week's Control-Alt-Speech podcast. The full episode has a lot of other fun stuff as well, so please take a listen and subscribe.